We just thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for health and strength that you've given us as well to rise up and to come this morning. We thank you for everyone that's come out. Lord, we just pray now as we open up your word and study your word that our hearts and our minds would be directed toward you and toward the things that you've given us in your word to study and to learn. Lord, we pray for those who weren't able to be here this morning, or Lord, even those that maybe are on their way yet still, we just pray for them, Lord, as well. And Lord, we'll just give you praise and glory for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and I want to look in verse 7. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I want to just, it's been a few weeks since I've been here to teach or had the opportunity to teach here. I don't know if you knew or not, last Sunday I had the opportunity to go speak at a cowboy church in Newport, Tennessee. Sam Gerhard is the pastor there, and it was a good time, good experience, very, very nice people there, and we had that. You know, praise the Lord for that opportunity. But last time I was here, we were talking about the Word of God, and we've talked about that, and I want to continue along that. And before there's any knowledge or wisdom or instruction, there has to be the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the reverence of knowing that He is. In fact, hold on to Proverbs and look over in Hebrews. And look in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the famous faith chapter. And faith is basically believing God, believing His Word, trusting in Him, faith in His Word is, and belief in His Word and trust in His Word is faith. And, for example, look in verse 3, Hebrews 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Well, how do we know that? How do we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God? We read about it, don't we? We find it in a book in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. So faith is taking God's Word and believing what it says. So through faith we know, we understand. You understand, how did the world get here? How did that happen? Well, you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and you read, and that's how it happened. You don't doubt it. You don't stress over it. You just believe it through faith. That's what faith is. Through faith we do that. Now, notice it goes on, talks about some people who had faith. And then notice in verse 6, Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He is what? God. You see, it begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is recognizing Him as who He is. He's God. He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. He's the Head. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's God. So then that reverence and fear then is whatever He says, that's it. That's the final authority. That's it. His Word is the final authority. So unless you start there and that fear, you can't go any further than that. Why? Well, because if you don't fear God, if you don't understand that He's God and what He says goes, and that He has the power to preserve His Word and keep it for us, if you don't believe that, then everything that you read in His Word, there'll always be, well, what if this isn't right? What if this Word isn't right? So what do? You begin with the fear of the Lord. This is God's Word. He's preserved it. He's God. So what He says goes, and then you start from there, and you go on. That's the fear of the Lord, is the beginning. Notice what He says here, looking down back to Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs. And look in chapter 1 again, and look down to verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? You know, the Bible uses words like the word fool. And it says here that fools hate knowledge. You know what else the Bible says about, you know who else the Bible calls a fool? The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. They hate knowledge. They don't believe there's a God. If they do, they don't believe in the God. They're a fool. And they hate knowledge. So they would hate this book. Why? Because this is where knowledge is found. So they would hate this book. So what would they then try to do to this book? They would try to plant doubt and show that it's wrong. They will try to find errors. They will try to say that it's just the writings of men, or that there's errors in it. And they will try to do that. They'll try to nitpick. They will scorn. That's what it says here. Scorners delight in their scorning. What's a scorner? Someone who looks down upon something and speaks against it. That's what people are doing to this book today. It's under assault. It's under assault by scorners who hate knowledge, who are, the Bible calls, fools. They have no fear of God. They don't fear the Lord. They hate knowledge. Look over in chapter 2. Verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, notice the plural, words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Out of His mouth, His words, plural, His words, is where we find knowledge and understanding. Now, I want to look at the Word of God. The Word of God can either be spoken, or the Word of God can be written. That's not rocket science material there, right? Anybody's words themselves are either spoken or they're written. That's what you do with words. You either speak the words or you write the words in some sort of language. That's how we communicate. Sign language, I guess, would be another way to communicate words without it being written or spoken, but it's still communicated. Words are communicated. So God's Word, the Word of God, is either spoken, and when I say spoken, I mean out of His mouth. And there are instances in the Bible where this took place. In fact, let's look at this. Look up in Genesis. Turn back to Genesis. And look in chapter 8. In Genesis chapter 8, this is simple, but notice verse 15. Genesis 8, verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing. And I'm not going to read all that, but my point is here is that there God spoke to man in time past. God spoke to Noah. Noah heard the voice of God. God spoke to Noah and told him something. He heard it. It wasn't written down. It was spoken. God spoke, look in chapter 12. God spoke to Abram. In chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. God spoke to Abram. Abram heard words. He spoke unto Abram. He spoke unto Moses. Look over in Exodus, the next book over in Exodus chapter 6. Notice verse 1, Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. By the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. Notice he spoke. He speak. There's been times, and we find it, that God spoke audibly to people, to his people. But what I find as I study the Bible, and it's interesting to see how that starting with Adam, and you go through your Bible, what you find, the further you go into your Bible, the less that God actually himself speaks. You just don't, it becomes less. In fact, it becomes more of in dreams, or the angel of the Lord comes and speaks. In fact, look in, turn back to Genesis and look in chapter 16. The angel of the Lord spoke to a woman here in Genesis chapter 16. Sarah's handmaiden, her maid. Notice verse 7. Genesis 16, verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, angel of the Lord said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and whither thou wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. The angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. So the angel of the Lord speaking to Hagar here, a woman who was a maid to Sarah. The angel of the Lord speaks. Then you find visions, people having visions, and the Lord speaks to them through visions. And it goes through that way in the Bible. But my point here is that that's the spoken word of God. God's not speaking in that way today. Today, and as now that we have a completed Bible with Scripture, we have His Word contained in Scripture. The written Word of God, the Bible calls the written Word of God Scripture. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture. You see, what we have today is Scripture. What you have right here in your lap is Scripture. It is just as much the Word of God as it would have been spoken. It's Scripture. It's by inspiration of God. Inspiration means, basically it means God breathed, which basically means God speaks the Word. That's how we get Scripture. And I think we looked at this last time, but it's been a few weeks. So look back to, turn to Acts, and let's look at Scripture here. In Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, notice verse 16. Let's start there. Acts 1, 16. Men and brethren, this Scripture. All right, here we go. This Scripture, and the Scripture here has to do with the resurrection, has to do with this one has to do with Judas, actually. Men and brethren, this Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake, before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. The Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David, and it was called Scripture. God breathed it. David spoke it. It was written down, and it became Scripture. Peter said it must needs be fulfilled. Why? Because it's truth. Scripture is truth. Okay? Notice, look over in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter verse chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice, I don't know if I'm trying to figure out where to jump in here. Notice verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. He knew he was going to die, didn't he? Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. You know why? How would they always have them in his remembrance? It was written down, wasn't it? He's writing to these people. He's writing something down so it will be to their remembrance. It's preserved. You see, and we're going to get into this, Lord willing, next week, but the way the Word of God is preserved is it's written down. I say something. I'm standing up here saying something. And as soon as these words come out of my mouth, and they go into your ears, and then you process what you hear, and then that's it. You either remember it or you forget it, which probably you'll forget it if you're like me. What do you do if you want to remember something? You write it down. God knows human nature. God knows that you're not going to remember. So what does He do? He writes it down in Scripture. So we have His Word preserved. Peter saying, I'm writing this so you'll remember it. That's what Scripture is. It's so you'll have it. So you'll go back and read it again. Now notice what he says. Verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of this majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hold there. Look what he's talking about here. Hold on to 2 Peter and turn back to Matthew. What's Peter writing down? He wants them to remember that he's told them about. Now he's writing it down. Matthew 17. In verse 1. Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. They saw the risen, glorified, they saw Jesus Christ in his glory. He transfigured from the man Christ Jesus, earthly form that he took on, he transfigured into his glory. They saw his glory there. His face shone as the sun. I mean, just imagine that now. They saw this. And notice verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. They saw Moses and Elias. Then Peter, he's always gets all excited now. Notice, then Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. They heard, audibly heard, God say words. And what did they do? They fell down, didn't they? They were afraid. You know, you hear somebody talking about they hear the voice of the Lord like it's like they hear their dentist speak when they go get their teeth cleaned. That's nonsense. Anytime the Lord spoke to somebody in the Bible, it was a big deal. It was turning your hair white deal. It was falling down dead deal. That's how serious it was, because it didn't happen very often. So here we have Peter. He's seeing this. He's hearing this. Back to 2 Peter. And I've got to finish up here. In 2 Peter, verse 17 again, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You know what Peter's saying here? He's saying that Isaiah, he's saying the books of Daniel, he's saying the Scripture of old time is more sure word than what he actually saw and heard with his own eyes. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Why? You know what? Your eyes can play tricks on you. Your ears can play tricks on you. You might eat a bad hot dog and have a vision in your dream that night. And you wake up. You can't trust that. What do you trust? You trust the Scripture. You trust what's written down. You trust what thus saith the Lord in His Word. You know, the Bible in Isaiah and in Matthew, and I'm not going to turn over there for time's sake, but the big sin of Israel, you know what their big sin was? Jesus said, "Ye honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." That's what religion is. Religion is singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," when you really don't. Religion is, "Oh, I believe the Bible is the Word of God," but you really don't. I'm afraid that we, Christians, saved members of the body of Christ, don't take His Word as serious as we should, in that this is His Word. If I truly believe that this is the Word of God, if I truly believe that in these pages of this book is the words that God has spoken, some of it's not directly to me, some of it is directly to me, but it's all His Word, how... do I really, if I don't ever read it and study it, if I don't take it serious when it's being taught in church, in Bible study, if I don't take it serious, do I really believe that it's God's Word? Is this real, or are we honoring Him with our lips, but really in our heart we could care less? Because God hates that. God would rather man, throughout His Bible, as I've studied it, God would rather a man admit in his heart that he doesn't love God when he doesn't, than to say he does when he doesn't. You understand what I'm saying? God hates hypocrites. That's the definition of hypocrite, is to say and act like you on the outside, but in the inside you're really not that way. That's what a hypocrite is. Now, we either believe God's word and we take it serious as it is God's word, or we don't. It's not what we say about God's word, it's what we believe and how we approach it and how we reverence it and fear it. Because you don't love the Lord or fear the Lord any more than you love and fear His word. So let's make it a point this week to spend some time reading His word. Let's take it serious as we listen to the Bible study and to the preaching. Let's take it serious. Let's take it as it really is. And it is God's word, and it's something that we should reverence and fear. Okay? All right. Thank you. You can take a break.